Okay, gentlemen, so we finished our review of the Boba Kama, and now we are going to move on to a completely a different element of Kaylee, starting in Posik, in Perek Yud Aleph, where we're going to be talking about specific cases, at least for the next four prokim, at least. We're going to be talking about Klei Matachot and then other things that we haven't mentioned before. So starting here are the, I gave you, I hope that you still have it. I put it on the daf, the Kitzur. We're calling this Kelim Atzmaim, independent Kelim. We'll see why we use that word. The special din of metal Kelim, which is that they can be Chozrim L'tuma Yishana, and a difference between the Stam case of Kelim Atzmaim or a tuma of a klimatris that does have a base kibble, which you would think if there's no din of a base kibble, so it would be irrelevant to a klimatachet. Not true. And we will see why it's not true. So first of all, our first big rule that the Mishnah lists is that it doesn't matter if they're pshuteim or mekableim, will be mekabel tuma. The second big issue is to know the din of the fact that there's a concept called Chozrim l'tumatana yishana. So if they broke, they became tahar, exactly the same way as the kelim we've been talking until now. But the difference is, if you make them into a kli again, they are chozrim l'tuma hayishana, and they become tame just like they were. Now, the question is whether that is true about any type of tuma. The Tanakhama holds, it's true about any type of tuma. Whatever tuma they had, that's what tuma they come back to. Is there a problem, Nachi? Don't know. Something wrong with the audio? I don't know. I don't know what
are
people
you
want.
Rebbe fine?
I'm doing the best I can. I just don't know what.
I hear Rebbe fine.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
All right. I don't know. I keep getting these nasty messages from Ira that things are no good. But
it's the internet up north.
Okay. Anyway, it's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel has a completely different approach to Tuma Yishana. Remember that the understanding that we had of Tuma Yishana is that it was a gezeira, that since it's so easy to break and repair a metal kli, if you just make a little hole in it, you can simply re-solder it, right? And if you need those kelim today, then if you would take the choice of going to the mikveh, you'd have to wait till tonight. If you have to wait till tonight, it'll be too late. You won't have them in time for the wedding, let's say, right? So the gezeira was to make certain that people would not forget about the din of Harif Shemesh, because then people who would actually do this, and others would say, wait a minute, these were all tummy. How is it possible to use it? They would conclude that there's no din of Harif Shemesh by metal kalim, which would be terrible. But Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, that's not the point. People are like, it's crazy. How many people are going to make a hole in a metal kli, fix it, in order to avoid Harif Shemesh? The real problem comes with Tumas Mace. Now, that's serious, because if the kli will be Tumay Mace, first of all, you've lost it for 7 days. Second of all, you're going to have to pay a lot of money for the Poras Chatas, if you're lucky enough to be able to have a Poraduma handy. And because of that, they made a gezeira that there it's very likely that people indeed will make a hole, be mevatel the tumas meis, and then solder it back, and now everything will be fine. Because of that only, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, we have that one gezeira of chozrim l'tuma yishana is limited to tumas meis. Now, another very important nekuda that the Mishnah discusses, the next Mishnah, is that if a kli is independent, that's why we called it atzmaim. It says bifnei atzmo. If it's got a name of its own, instead of being referred to as part of something else, right? So if you're going to be talking about a knife is a knife. If you're going to be talking about the beaters or the blade of your blender, you don't call it a knife. You call it the blender blade. And then it does not have a shame bifnei atzmo. So if it has its own name, then it's tummy. But if not, it's not tummy. Not really true. Because as we'll see, if not, then it depends on whether it has a kli, whether it's a kli kibble. Because all kli kibble are mekabel tuma, doesn't need a name. And that's what the klei matechet have in common with all of the other kelim that we spoke about. So it's not that by giving them this new special halacha that pshuteyam or mekablim tuma, that there's no such thing as a beis kibo for a kli cheres. It's just that by saying that even a flat kli without a beis kibo, if it has independence and it's a tool on its own, then it's mekabel tuma, but that doesn't remove the din of clay kibble. So because of that, if it has its own name, it's tame, unless, of course, it's something that is used only bechibur lekarka. Let's say a neger. A neger is a built-in door stopper that you click and it goes down, holds it in, or what about a lock? A lock has its own name. It's certainly its own kli. It's not going to be mekabel tuma because it works by being connected. How about a drain pipe? It works by being connected. So all things that are made for being connected is certainly not going to be mekabel tuma because it is mechuber. Now, we said that there's a din of chozur l'tuma yeshana. The question is, do I need to know that it had originally been tame? And we say, look, I mean, if not, if I go in and I buy a knife, so you're saying, I mean, many kalim could be made out of things that were bought from a junkyard, were remelted and refashioned into kalim, and things that were originally brought from the junkyard to be remelted and recycled, they were tamei originally. So that would mean that you would have to be choshesh for every kli. Maybe it was a melted down, originally tamei kli, which is pretty reasonable. So you could think to yourself that since this whole thing is a gzeira d'rabbanan because of the problem of either Yerev Shemesh or the problem of the Poraduma, we're not going to be makbid on a suffix d'rabbanan. Not true. Therefore comes along the Mishnah to say, generally speaking, if you're buying recycled metal, you have to assume and be choshesh was tamei, and therefore you don't have to be metamei it. Unless you're absolutely clear about where the metal comes from. So if you're buying ore, you're buying iron ore, eshet, or you're buying something from an area that it couldn't have become tamei originally, because it's something that generally is not recyclable. It's something that people would not recycle that needs to be strong. The case the Mishnah offers, it's a wheel rim. Wheel rims weren't made out of recycled metal, and since they're not mekabel tuma on their own, because they're made for shimush of kalim, or let's say you want to buy sheet metal or kane kalim, bases of other types of kalim. Things like that are from the type of scraps that are just filings. So all of those kind of things you don't have to worry about. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, even if you made a new kli from pieces that had been completely cut up, that would also be okay. Because the only gezeira, according to him, was that if you make a hole in a kli, then it would be chozur l'tuma yeshana. But suppose you find something that was cut up into little pieces. So over there, there's no chashash. Who's going to cut his thing up in little pieces? You only would want to make a hole to resolder it. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there we do not have a takona. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we're only made the takona because of a chashad that you will not make a hole large enough in order for it to be motzi rimon and to lose its tuma. But if it's cut up into little pieces, there was no gezera in the first place. So now we have three shitas about what the inyan of the tuma yoshana is. So any case where we would have to worry, let's say you bought it in a junkyard, according to the Chachamim, all of those things you have to be chayshesh, that they are tummy. Quite an amazing halacha. That means much greater expansion than we thought. Okay, what about if you have mixed, which is very common, when you're making new things, and you'll often see this on a label, 60% recycled material. So when we recycle things, recycling, depending on what you want to use it for, always uses a percentage of used materials and a percentage of new materials. And that's what our Mishnah wants to know. If you took used material that had been tamei, and you mix it with something that was definitely not tamei. I mean, obviously, it didn't have to be recycled versus non-recycled. It could be you just knew one kli was tamei, one kli wasn't tamei. You melted them both down, mixed the melted material together. It goes according to the rov. And we're machmir that if it's mechza la mechza, We actually give it a din of tuma. Now, this same thing would be true, by the way, in a similar case, but ogea kabolas tuma, even if klicheres were over there, has nothing to do with the kosher of the tumi yishana, but in terms of defining the material. So let's say you mix together clay and dung, which was common to make kelim from dung. So then again, if most of it is clay gilalim, it's not mekabel tuma. If most of it was clay, so then it, indeed it becomes a kli. Maybe that's why they call clay clay, because it's used for kelim. So anyway, getting back to the various things, let me get into some questions about what might have been used. And there is also a different issue, something that might have been made from Tumas Kalim, from Tumim, the Kalim that were Tumim, if we know that it definitely started off with Tahar, being Tahar, then if you just plate it with something, then you're not Choshesh on the plate, because it goes according to the, not the plating material, which might be metal, but it goes according to the main thing. And the same thing would be true about things that are Tumay, that have their own name. And so we're talking about the pin of a door, which is called pin in Hebrew, actually, and the bolt of a door. So those things, even though they're meant to work together, since they are given different names, we would have exactly the same halacha. Okay, this one of our Shabbos issues, remember, came up over here, and that was the famous case that we had with the gluztura that's attached with the cord, whether you can move it from one door to the other on Shabbos. That also appears here in the Mishnah in Kalim. It's not only Shabbos, it's all about Kalim. It's also Kalim that's all about Shabbos. So it goes in both directions. Anyway, moving on to the details of these kind of things, the Mishnah also discusses issues like Kalim that are made out of a lot of different pieces. So like, you know, that a horse has got a bridle. So the bridle consists of a bit. It consists of these pieces that come down on the side, which are more decorative. This is a machlokes. Remember, there's no din of a kli being decoration for an animal, only for an adam. So we learn that from the clay midyan. So the akrav part, which is the bit itself, is considered to be tameh over there because it has its own independence. We said independent thing. But the pieces that go down along the side, those things are tahar, according to the Tanakhama, according to Rebbe Eliezer. They are, since they're part of the whole thing, they can be tameh even on their own. And according to the Chachamim, or not the Tanakhama, there is a difference whether they're attached or not. While they're attached, they can be megabel tameh, tumah, with anything else. Then we talk about, remember, some of these kalim that are made out of two different parts. So we have the metal part, we have the wooden part, and the question is, when they are meant to work together, do we give the metal parts their own tuma? So our favorite case that we've talked about many times throughout the Masechta here was the case of a whorl. A whorl is a pika. It's that metal flywheel that's at the bottom of a spindle, and it allows you to spin the thread because you have enough mass there to keep it turning, and that catches the thread on the little hook that's on the spindle, and it'll mean that you can now accomplish your tvia, the spinning the threads. So the question is that metal piece considered to be an independent thing and therefore would be mekabel tuma or not? So Rabbi Akiva says that it is considered to be tame because of the fact that it's given a name by the people who are professionals. They don't call it the pika of, they call it the pika. Now, it's true that if you are a layman, it's like many things are like that. Professionals have a terminology for something, which when they'll walk into the store, they'll talk about that terminology, and the professional store will know exactly what they're talking about. When you walk into a hardware store, you're going to have to explain what you want. So I want the type of pika that can be attached to a spindle, not the type of pika that I can put into my car engine and use as a flywheel and so on, right? So because of that, the question is, do we go according to the common usage or do we go according to the professional usage? Rabbi Akiva holds, you look at the professional will call it a pika, and that's all. And therefore, it's got its own name. The Chachamim don't go along with that. And the same thing would be true about musical instruments, where they will have different pieces. So the musician is able to refer to the parts of his things that are replaceable, you know, and he'll just call it a thing. Do you have a set of strings, and so on, right? Or do you have I forgot what they even call it, which we talk about over here, the part at the end you know, that makes the sound come out. I forgot what that's called. It's at the tip of the horn, but it's you take it off. Okay, but in any event, so if it's got, if it has a bass kibble, because it you carry around the different valves for it, let's say a clarinet or something, so then it has a bass kibble, would be tum tume, but here too, it would be again a machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim. How about if you make a musical instrument not out of metal? Okay, so you made it out of horn. You made a horn out of a horn. So then it only is going to become a kabel tuma, obviously, if it can have a bass kibble. So if it's like shaped in such a way that it could keep a liquid in it, fine. If it's just like a straight horn, then not. How about, however, if it's got a metal mouthpiece? Now, a metal mouthpiece is considered to be tume because it makes it sound on its own. And because of that, it's got a din of an independent kli, despite the fact that in order to amplify its sound, to modify its sound, it's attached to something that's not going to be makabel tuma. The same thing is true about the bell. Thank you. It's called the bell. That's the part that expands. So if you have the part that screws on to the end, and that allows the sound to be properly focused and so on. So there too, we have a machlokas. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it's tameh because it serves independent functioning. It's a kli that is going to modify sound. The Chachamim say, look, it's just part of an instrument that you would have to identify. But here we're meida again, if it's all connected at the time, so then it's mekabel tuma as one kli. The same thing is true, says the Mishnah, about the pieces of a menorah that you screw in to be able to use the sides. Oftentimes on Shabbos, you've got this kind of candelabra. When it's mechubar, everything is tameh. That, yes. How about a bicycle helmet? So a bicycle helmet, again, the side pieces are not considered, but at those times, of course, bicycle helmets were really war helmets, and they would have those pieces on the side that they would then attach. They're not part, originally they weren't part of the helmet, but the helmets would often have a place to keep your cell phone, or in those days it wasn't your cell phone, it was your water bottle, but they would have a water bottle. And in fact, all of the things that are used for war, so there, even though we're talking about the heads of arrows or of spears or something you put over your leg to protect you, or a coat of mail, as long as they're not merely there for decoration of the kli, but if they're decoration of yourself. So let's say women's jewelry. Women's jewelry are all considered to be a real kli because they're listed among the kli midyan. And it doesn't matter if you got a ring. It doesn't matter whether it's got a signet or not. And you shouldn't think that that's the thing that's making it. And then we go through what level of breakage is considered to be breakage. Obviously, if you've got a long necklace and it breaks and you lose half of the necklace, you could still make it into a smaller necklace. So we talk about as long as it's long enough to go around a kid, be a kid's necklace and so on. And we talk about parts of earrings and parts of chokers that broke off that you could use as a little hanging decoration. So that's enough. We talk about how about if you've got a necklace that's made out of the silver chain, just a thin silver chain that you put like pieces on. So the silver chain is considered to be makabel tuma on its own because over there it can be worn on its own. We talk about earrings that are made out of two pieces, one piece that has a bass kibble that's attached to a little round piece on top, and then it's hung from the ear. The round piece can be makabel tuma on its own because it's decorative. The piece that falls off on the bottom can be makabel tuma because it has a tiny bass kibble, and that gives us the fundamental dinim of that are the klolim and some details as illustration of the inyanim of klei matachot. So again, we called it kelim atzma'iyim. It concludes chozim letumei yeshana and talks about a beit kibul even on a secondary kli, a kli mishni, which is a different din of the halachas here.